Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you all. I'm delighted to be with my co-host. But wait, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. Hi, guys.
Hello there. Let me first affirm it is definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And I'm Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And it's very definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness. And Sarah and I are co-founders of an online ministry, a special hybrid unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
And as I always say, the quick way, because we like to make it easy for people, is ucfyp.com. And we have just totally redesigned our blog section. Tons of great resources there, things we'd forgotten about. So we invite you to go take a peek.
Yeah, bring them back, the oldies but goodies. And yeah. Bill, you got to be careful how you say that. So I say beautiful, you're saying Buddha-ful, and we don't want to say booty-ful. As in somebody's booty. Anyway,
right.
I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find the Absolute Word, which is my weekly blog, and also my calendar, where I'm appearing around the world a little bit now, mm-hmm. Since I'm going to be appearing with folks from Australia and New Zealand. You might want to check that out on my calendar. But all my work now has gone virtual. I'm loving the virtual platform. I feel an intimacy there that I don't feel when I'm 5 or 10 or 20 feet away from students. So come and join me. Let's have some fun. And speaking of fun, it's time to start our metaphysical romp. And we had just transitioned to this document, 31 Important Things You Should Say No To for a Happier Life by Danny Forrest. And Cher, did you find this on the Medium blog site?
Yeah, that's correct. I did.
Yeah, really good. Take it away, Cher.
Okay. And the reason we thought this would be so important to do is that not only does it help for a happier life, but it really does relate to your spirituality too, and your ability to make your life your spiritual practice.
Yeah.
And so many of these things that he suggests you say no to, we agree that it will also help you with your own spiritual enrichment if we can say no to it.
Agreed.
So that's why we really dove into this and liked it. So we're just going to start taking them on and see what happens and discuss them, right?
Yeah, so I don't think did we finish the one on procrastination?
No, we just basically introduced it as a teaser last time.
Okay, so dive into that one.
Okay.
You put this on our website, right? So people can link to it?
Yes.
Okay. This is one of the cleanest articles. There's not a lot of prose. There's not a lot of reading, a lot of words, blah, 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 blah. He cuts it right to the bare minimum. And I say that because I use my cell phone all the time to look up recipes. And I have to wade through several paragraphs of this person waxing eloquently about the recipe. And all I want are the facts.
Yes.
Only the facts, man. Give me the ingredients and how to do it. I'm already sold.
Yeah. So, and he does this here.
He does it. And he lists additional resources as well, which is really, really good.
He follows the same process or structure for each of these items.
Yes.
So he lists the item and describes it. Then he has one quote that he has decided kind of captures the essence of it. And then he says how to say no to that particular thing. And then he gives additional resources with actual live links that you can go right to them, which I'm sure are affiliate links that he has, but that's okay because
that's
he gets you there and he found them. So he should get the credit. And I see one of his for procrastination is one of our favorite books, The 21 Lessons for the 21st Century by Harari. Fabulous, fabulous book. So anyway, that's the structure. And what we're going to do is share what he's got. And then we're just going to tie it to some of our own tips that we recommend, how it relates to spirituality. We're just going to kind of chat about it, each one,
right,
as
like
we normally do around the table. First one was say no to procrastination. And we've procrastinated enough around it. So let's get to it. Or he says, stop thinking and start doing, which is just an interesting description all by itself.
So right there, if you notice you're procrastinating something, do something in that moment, if you can, to start moving it forward. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Simple, but not obvious, right?
Not obvious and not always as easy to do as it is to say. Usually I have found when I'm procrastinating, it's something I really don't want to do. And so I'm coming up with all the possible reasons why I don't need to do it or things that are more important to do instead of just saying, okay, suck it up, do it.
So this is where you should introduce the persons that are listening to us about the word you made up.
Oh, yes. The word rationalize, which we use a lot. And that we believe that's what's happening when you're putting off doing something, you're rationalizing. The way I like to see the word rationalize is as two words, rational lies.
Yes.
We are creating what appear to be rational, but they're really lies. And we're telling them to ourselves in order to keep us from doing something else or to justify doing something that we know we shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. And so my side of it is not as gentle as that. It's kind of that. So now we know who's the gentle and kind one around the kitchen table and who isn't. That would be me.
People probably already knew that.
They probably already knew that. But I will ask people, and I ask them, often ask myself, what is the dirty little lie I'm telling myself about this so that I don't do it or so that I do it? Because that's what a rational lies is. It's like a dirty little secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what rational lies am I telling?
I love that. I'm going to be using that in the near future. Oops, I just did.
All right. So the quote that he gives in this article is from Marcus Aurelius. It is not death that a man should fear, but he should fear never beginning to live.
Wow, that's huge.
And that's procrastination.
That is.
When we put off doing what is really going to be what allows us to truly experience life.
Yes.
We put it off. And I wonder how many people are working jobs that keep them from doing, experiencing the real joy that they want.
Wow, that's a big one.
Yeah, I just stepped in it, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I would like to make a comment, but I'm not, and I'll tell you why. He said that we shouldn't fear death. I would tend to get a little bit more existential about that kind of thing, about fearing death or not fearing death. Yeah, you shouldn't fear anything, really. But that's another topic and another program.
Yes, and I think fear would be a really cool topic.
I think we should. They do a topic on fear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea.
So teaser, that's coming. So he lists several resources here, which people can find when they go to the article itself and take a peek at it. I think it would be interesting to talk about what are we procrastinating doing around our spiritual enrichment and enhancement? And what are some tips of ways we can do it? He does have some how to say no to procrastination. I skipped that, sorry.
Okay, let's come back to that because you brought up a really good topic here. Because before the show, we weren't even referring to this, but I brought one up. So the common definition for insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And isn't that what we're doing with procrastination? And another one is things we do as a human being to procrastinate or not grow is stopping doing something we know that works.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that came up in a discussion around tapping or emotion and freedom technique. When I've shared it with people, they go, oh yeah, I know that. I learned that. That's really good. And then I said, do you use it? And they say, no. It's like, is that interesting? What is it in us that resists or just chooses not to do things that we know work?
And we have found that's probably the number one issue when people are experiencing where they're saying things like, I'm finding that nothing's working for me anymore. And one of the first questions is, well, tell us about your meditation life right now. How's that practice? Oh yeah, I haven't done that for a while. And it's like, that's, in our opinion, is sort of like the non-negotiable foundation. And it can look so many different ways. It's not like you have to do it a certain way. making that a priority first. And if you procrastinate on that, then it becomes a house of cards for everything else.
Well, interesting, in the last few classes I taught, I mentioned that, and I actually mentioned every class, but feedback I've gotten from students is they heard it and they finally realized that they really weren't taking their spiritual practice or growth seriously, which led to procrastinating, you could say. It's something they said they wanted, but they were procrastinating doing something to get what they wanted.
And I think that's a powerful point. Now, the other side of procrastination is there's a piece of us that gets rewarded sometimes when we procrastinate. For example, if there's some big project that you are resisting and you don't want to do, how many times have you actually procrastinated and decisions were made at a point where you'd ended up not having to do it because things changed?
Yeah.
So it paid off to procrastinate because you ended up not having to do it. So there are benefits sometimes that people get that reward the idea of procrastination.
I have a concrete example of that, which we've talked about amongst the three of us, and that is around writing. I've been procrastinating finishing this book, though every time I go back, it looks like the procrastinating gave my mind space to work on it. And so I came up with solutions that I didn't have at the point I stopped. Now that's an answer I want to begin questioning. Is that really true? Or is that my rationalization, my dirty little lie, my rational lie to justify why sometimes I just don't write?
Yeah.
And one thing a lot of folks procrastinate about when they're moving from religion to spirituality, they're actually procrastinating that fall, what we would call, the three of us, a forward movement by leaving all the dogma behind and as associated with religion and moving more into the open-mindedness and higher thought, if you will. We call it enlightened thought associated with spirituality. And the biggest thing that the three of us talk about in terms of helping you make that transition is to simply question unquestioned answers. And there's hesitation, there's procrastination to do just that, to question unquestioned answers.
So there's another topic we have never really explored, is what enlightenment is and what is it and what's the payoff? What's the advantage of getting there? And is it a goal to go for? And so that would be that we can add that to our list to fear. And there was another one and I can't remember it. So we're going to just move on.
I wanted to share one little tip that I teach in my, when I do time management, because I'm the one that pretty much teaches time management. And this sort of applies because procrastination comes in there. And one of the techniques is the 10-minute jump start. And the way it works, and I just recommend this, particularly if there's a spiritual practice you're wanting to try, this is a really cool technique. You just set a timer for 10 minutes. And then you do what it is you're procrastinating on for, you say, I'm going to do it for that 10 minutes. When the timer goes off, I can stop. Because we can do anything for 10 minutes. That's not very long. 90% of the time, when you're into it 10 minutes, then the timer goes off, you just shut off the timer and you're still in it and you just keep going. If you want to stop, you give yourself permission to stop, and then later you do another 10 minutes and you just chunk it up if you have to get it done. But it's amazing how that 10-minute jump start becomes a really powerful way to deal with procrastination.
What do you call it?
The 10-minute jump start.
10-minute jump start. Well, guess what? I stumbled onto that. I used that when I was going to the gym regularly, and when I felt like not going, and I said my body was too tired or whatever, what I said to myself is, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go to the gym floor. I'm going to do 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, if I still don't feel like doing it, I can go home because my body must need a rest. Been doing that.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Our psychic, our minds.
Yeah.
I sent that to you mentally.
Yeah.
One of my favorite techniques to get beyond procrastination is, if there's something that I don't want to do or feel that I'm not particularly good at, or just simply just don't want to do, I contact someone else. I don't procrastinate on that. Contact someone else who likes doing that, and I hire them to do it so I don't have to do it.
Oh, that's a good way to do that.
That is a technique, because sometimes somebody else might love to do what it is you don't want to do.
Exactly.
Often that's the case. And his first bullet in procrastination is find yourself an accountability partner.
There you go.
The three of us do that for each other a lot.
Oh, yeah.
We really do. We'll call each other on. Did you write that chapter yet?
We had that a few weeks ago. And to be honest, I started and stopped. Stuff comes up and that's more interesting. It's like a new shiny moment. Oh, yeah, I got to do that first. And I'm going to do that when I get this done. And that's another one of those dirty little lies I tell myself.
Well, you know what's interesting about what you just said, which I think is brilliant, Paul. In a way, a writer, that happens to writers a lot, what you just mentioned about yourself, because in a way, once you start a book, the book begins to write itself, and the book itself is your accountability partner. And so if you haven't gotten all the mental stuff in a way that you can access it, it's almost like the books help us out a little bit by having us take a little bit of time off or procrastinate before we write again.
Well, I will say that was really true on my first book. On this current book, on the laws and rules of mind, it was the research that was so fascinating that I used to pull myself along. Getting down and writing it and organizing them, because the raw data is so disorganized, is something that it's actually what I've been putting off. And finding a format with these types of books, it can be challenging. I think I landed one, but we're not going to use this time to do that. And another bullet it has is find the necessity in the things you set out to do. In other words, what's my reason for having to do this? Why is this on my to-do? You know
what?
What's
the payoff?
That's better. What's the benefit or payoff in doing this thing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You could have written this thing.
Yeah, I do a lot with procrastination. So yeah. I know this topic pretty well because it's one dear to my heart because I've experienced it so much.
Yeah. And you know what? The other two, find enjoyment in the things you do and find your why, are all related to that.
Yeah. I would say one other thing is find out what your procrastination techniques are, because we all have habits. We all have something we do instead. For me, this was a really interesting aha. It was getting coffee, believe it or not. I would
What
find,
do you mean? I absolutely believe that one.
You get it? Yeah. It was like, I'm getting ready to start this thing. I don't want to do it. You know what? I need a cup of just a good cup of coffee to get me going. And yeah. I would invariably find that was my procrastination tool. So what I did was I turned the coffee into a reward. So I'm going to do this. And when I get finished with this chunk, I get to go get my coffee.
Nice.
So nice. Switching it. Another one of mine was organizing. That made me think of it when you talked about your research, because I'd hate making marketing calls. That's something I do not like to do. I find I got to make sure everybody's name and phone number is here. I need to put these in alphabetical order so I can make sense. Let me review this a little bit. This is awful. I got to clean out these files. And before you knew it, the day was over. Well, I can't call now because they're at dinner.
Yeah, but here I go again. I'm sounding like a tapping fanatic. Is that would be something great for you and I to tap on, because we both of us don't like to do the cold calls and the marketing calls.
What's the Bill could join us on that one too, because we end up calling each other. We'd call each other on our phone and say, I just want to hear yes.
will you give me a yes? Wow. And as usual, here we are. And so before we pivot, I'm going to tease what the next one is. And this is a big one, negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. Negative self-talk.
That's a big one.
So in that, we can talk a lot about one of our favorite subjects is self-awareness and things like that.
And can I say, just as we do the pivot, the takeaway here is look at your spiritual practice. What are you procrastinating that could truly help you, and make this week a time when you really give it a priority?
Oh, that is really great. What a wonderful challenge. All righty. Let's make our pivot. We're going to go to the absolute word now, which comes from the Daily Word for August 23rd, 2020. The Absolute Word is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. The words are inner peace. I claim inner peace. I am calm and relaxed. Quiet moments in a fragrant garden, a stroll by a lake or stream, or a visit to a beautiful place inspiring a deep awareness of peace. I also enjoy peace with friends, those with whom I have easy camaraderie and deep bonds. Growing in my spiritual awareness of the principle of peace, I claim inner peace wherever I am. True inner peace comes from deep within me as I manifest it from principle. If I am feeling less than peaceful, I pause and breathe out, releasing worry, fear, and unhealthy concern. As I breathe in, I focus on my inner divinity, including the principle of peace. My peace soothes my emotions, calms my thoughts, and my body relaxes. As I claim peace, I move forward with renewed clarity and confidence. I claim peace. I am calm and relaxed. And so it is, and so goes another metaphysical romp to our listeners. Thank you and oceans of gratitude for listening. We do it for you. And of course, we're also doing it for ourselves. We have a lot of fun doing this. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher.
Thank you. We are so thrilled to have a chance to do this. And I love the claiming inner peace. That is something we do not want to procrastinate on. It's there. We want to claim it and bring it forth. So we affirm that for you as we say bye.
And bye. It's been our privilege again to be with you.
Bye, all.